The Gospel of the Lord. Once again, we have a parable given to us by our Lord in the Gospel of Matthew. And as usual, there's some elements to it that make sense to us. Maybe we can relate. But there's also some elements that make us scratch our head if we really stop and reflect on the parable. For instance, why can't the 10 virgins share the oil? Where's the harm in being generous? Or why would the groom turn away the guests that he invited and act like he didn't know them when the foolish ones come back and knock? Why does he turn them away? If by tomorrow morning you have forgotten this gospel or the homily, know this: the message, the main theme, is the very last line. Therefore, stay awake, for you know neither the day nor the hour. The bridegroom was delayed in arriving, and so coming in the middle of the night makes sense that the guests had fallen asleep. I can relate. I fall asleep more times than I would like to admit in prayer. The apostles, they have fell asleep in the Garden of Gethsemane. That's natural. But again, why wouldn't they share oil with one another when they awoke? And then, more curiously, why would they go and try to buy that oil, that necessary oil for their lamps, in the middle of the night? Who would be open to sell oil at 1 or 2 in the morning? This should tell us that Jesus is not speaking of an ordinary wedding. The foolish virgins come back late, and the doors are locked, and the groom acts as though he has never heard of them. Jesus is not speaking of an ordinary dialogue that we experience on a daily basis here on earth. This gospel passage is about the eternal and supernatural wedding feast. It's about the second coming of our Lord and whether or not we enter into the kingdom of heaven. Every parable has a meaning, and in Hebrew it's called nimshal. And after every parable, Jesus always explains the meaning, either implicitly or explicitly, stretching out the answer over several verses or all at once. And today, he explains the message of the parable and that very one, that last line, that one-liner. Therefore, stay awake, for you know neither the day nor the hour. This is what we need to know. This is what we need to take away. We have to be prepared and ready for our death. This parable tells us that we have to be prepared and that we need faith, yes, but that's not going to cut it. We have to have good works, because the 10 virgins in this parable represent members in the Catholic Church. Just because we're Catholic doesn't mean we're actually fulfilling our obligation to be virtuous, to perform acts of love, acts of kindness. The oil for the lamp represents good works, because the oil is the fuel for the flame. And earlier in the Gospel of Matthew, we hear in chapter 5, Jesus say, "Let your light shine before men so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven." The 10 virgins couldn't share their oil with one another, just as I can't take credit for your good works and you can't take credit for my good works. That's not how merit works. We're responsible for our own actions or lack thereof. Interestingly, the chapter just before this parable is the parable of the faithful and the unfaithful steward. We see very clearly that actions do matter, whether or not we're faithful in living out what our faith tells us to. Faith is essential, yes, but faith alone is actually worthless. We must express that faith by good works, by virtuous actions. What is the other main oddity of this parable teach us when the bridegroom says, I do not know you? Lord, Lord, open the door for us. This should sound a little bit familiar. Earlier again in the Gospel of Matthew, this time in chapter 7, Jesus says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. In today's parable, when the groom says, I do not know you, he is simply repeating what the foolish virgins had been saying all along by their foolishness, by their lack of action, by their lack of friendship with this groom. He is simply repeating to them what their actions had been displaying. The foolish virgins who were locked out of the wedding feast represent those who end up in hell. The Catechism says that hell is the separation from God, final and eternal. Hell is a continuation of someone's lack of relationship with God here on earth. Now, obviously, there's a major difference. It is eternal and infinitely more severe in hell. But it starts with the lack of a relationship here on earth. But now, finally, let us consider the delight if one is prepared, if one has cultivated a true relationship with Christ, if one actually has lived out their faith, the delight in being ready at the coming of our Lord, pure joy, because all of their actions on this earth are leading up to that encounter, to that moment when Christ comes again, either at the second coming or when he comes to us one-on-one at the moment of our death. I'm reminded of a prayer card that my grandma kept in her kitchen windowsill. And it's really not a prayer. It's more of a cliche, and I'm sure some of you have heard it. But I always noticed it when I was in the kitchen, and I'd always think about it. It said, I have no yesterdays. Time took them away. Tomorrow may not be, but I still have today. If we are to be ready, just as those wise virgins in the parable, then we must live as though Christ was truly coming today. And if we expect him to open the door for us to eternal life, then we must allow him to enter the door of our lives here on earth, beginning today, renewed every day.